Hello and welcome to the Payments Journal podcast. Today's discussion is going to be most beneficial to our audience within the merchant community and even merchant intermediaries like payment service providers. We're joined by ACI Worldwide's Vice President of Global Merchant Payments and Analytics and Optimization, Erica Dietrich, as well as Mercator Advisory Group's own Director of Merchant Services Advisory Practice, Don Apgar. Together, they discuss fraud prevention and management. The interesting through line of the conversation is that contrary to common perception, fraud solutions can't operate in a pre- and post-operation environment anymore, and that orchestration between fraud and payment strategies is what improves the bottom line. Erica kicks the discussion off by detailing the latest trends in fraud and the biggest issues merchants are dealing with fraud prevention. Next, Erica and Don detail the most common difficulties merchants face in getting fraud prevention right, including regulations and GDPR, payment methods and channels, regional variation, business policy, exceptions, first-party fraud, returns fraud, promotional fraud. The core of the discussion revolves around the balance between fraud prevention and conversion rates, as well as strategies and solutions to mitigate fraud generally. Lastly, Erica gives us a look ahead at the future fraud trends that ACI is tracking. Without further ado, let's take it to the show. So Erica, payments fraud seems to be a never-ending battle for merchants and payment service providers. What are the latest trends and biggest issues merchants are dealing with today?
Obviously, the pandemic continues to have substantial impact on not only payment and fraud prevention and orchestration, but also just widening the different types of alternative payment methods that are accepted and used, expanding internationally, and really having a cohesive solution that is operating across all the different payment methods, entry points, that being card present and card not present, and which really is adaptive and over time is learning about these new trends and patterns using machine learning, but really understanding all these different operating points and having a solution that is operationally cost effective, efficient, and can change and adapt quite quickly to all these new payment options, channels, and expanding globally.
That's an excellent point, Erica. You know, we gather so much data today as part of a transaction chain, especially in e-commerce. And there's so much data, it's hard to discern what are the data points that are the predictors of fraud in specific environments. And so being able to digest that data and track patterns becomes a lot more difficult when there's more data. So it's hard to imagine not going down this path without a process that includes some kind of automation or machine learning or AI.
Very cool. Erica, can you tell us about the common difficulties that merchants have with getting fraud prevention right?
It's not only about fraud prevention, right? It's about payment and fraud orchestration working together. So it's not about one aspect, it's about both of those aspects, fraud and payment solutions working together in an orchestrated manner. Why is that? It's because of regulations that merchants need to comply with. It's about the different payment methods and different options which require different authentication of consumers. It's about also in your fraud solution accounting for your business rules and regulations, but also understanding how each of those different operating points need to perform and how to monitor the performance of each of those. So the thing is, in our view, it's not just about fraud prevention alone. It's about an orchestrated platform that is using all of these factors in conjunction, but you can also adapt and change quickly based upon any internal or external changes that are occurring very quickly.
Yeah, and it's important to remember that we don't get the same data in every region that we operate in, right? Because even though, you know, particularly a credit or a debit card transaction is fairly standardized, the fraud prevention tools and the third-party data sets, the issuer data sets, some of the connectivity varies from region to region, as do the privacy laws. You mentioned GDPR in the EU is a perfect example. And so, you know, whatever strategy the merchant uses to try, or the acquirer uses to try to mitigate and identify fraud early, needs to be adapted and adjusted for the external variables outside of the payment system, the data that's accessible and the data that's not accessible and the data you can't share or you can't review, right?
Agreed.
So, Erica, the next question sort of revolves around balance. How can merchants get the right balance between preventing fraud and maintaining strong conversion rates? Is there always going to be like a trade-off there?
It doesn't need to be about trade-offs, right? It really comes down to having the right tools, solutions, and strategies in places, and being able to monitor them on a real-time short-term basis and also a very long-term basis and look at how your performance is not only day over day, hour over hour, month over month, quarter over quarter, right? It's about ensuring that your KPIs are monitored and focusing on not only singularly high acceptance rates, reduced fraud and false positive rates. It's also about having a low deny rate and minimizing those fraud and operational costs, right? And finding the balance that meets both your organization and your customer needs. And again, a solution needs to have a very clear picture about that consumer experience that enables you as a merchant to be flexible, to accommodate what those customer personalized choices might be to boost your sales. So in summary, it's not necessarily about having the trade-off. It's about really finding what the right operating points are and being able to monitor those operating points and focus on areas of opportunity, if whether it be a positive or a negative change. That's really how I'd view kind of getting the right balance, right? It's about operational performance and monitoring.
Yeah, that's so true. We just published some research on loyalty programs and how they interact and the effect on payments. You know, one of the big takeaways is how and when the merchant tokenizes the transaction can have a big effect on the ability to track consumers across sales channels. And you talk about orchestration and striking a balance. One of the key takeaways from the research is, you know, on the surface, fraud identification and mitigation and customer satisfaction and loyalty seem to be at odds, but they're really complementary because you talk about reducing friction, making the customer happy and making it easy for the customer and having, generating loyalty. But when you establish that loyal customer, that goes a long way toward a fraud prevention algorithm to say, you know what, I don't have to look at 100 variables because I know Erica, she shopped here 4 times before. And so there's that balance, the orchestration, as you mentioned, across the entire enterprise that lets the fraud prevention and the loyalty kind of feed off each other, right, to build a better mousetrap, both for the merchant and for the consumer.
So Erica, zeroing in on the strategies and solutions, what are the most important solutions and strategies that merchants need to implement to make sure that sales and fraud prevention keep that balance?
Absolutely. A multi-layered fraud and payment solution that works in conjunction together and not in isolation. That is really the number one key aspect for having a really solution that is end-to-end and for the highest accuracy. One that helps merchants monitor and use a bigger array of data points in an automated way, right? So Don has mentioned about the number of data points that we are collecting, not only on the consumer part, but the different payment options, the different geographic locations that you're interacting with the consumer, how the consumer is interacting with the merchant. Is it a kiosk? Is it a mobile app? Is it via the website? Is it a buy online, pick up in store, buy online, ship to home, right? All those different data points need to, in a solution, be collected and monitored. And then in addition to that, using that data to identify not only a genuine consumer that is returning, but also be able to identify your consumers that maybe were card present consumers and now are shifting more online to card not present, and have the dynamics of that consumer profiles occurring across all those various channel points. So really, in summary, it's about being able to have a multi-layered fraud prevention and payment solution that is working in orchestration and really focusing on your genuine consumers. But it needs to be flexible, right? It needs to be configurable, and it needs to not be very cost expensive, right? If you have a solution or tools that are in place that are slow to change or costly to change or require a deep skill set that might not be the merchant's fraud solution, the merchant needs to find that balance, right? What is right for them and what is right for their investment choices and what is right for their consumers.
Yeah, that's so true. And it really speaks to the importance of machine learning and AI in this environment, because everybody runs a rules-based fraud identification stuff. And you know, you look at your data, available data, you discern patterns and you set up rules and you kind of let it run. But the problem is the environment changes so fast and the fraudsters are pivoting so quickly that by the time you write the rules, somebody's already figured out a way to get around them, right? And right, so you have to have that constant software that updates itself almost, right? So as fraud is identified, rules are updated, and so that the platform can pivot and continue to discern those rules. We published some chargeback research last year, and, you know, 3D Secure 2.0, you know, is nice because you can send a lot more of that data to the issuer to give the issuer a better decision platform. But at the same time, there's no liability shift there, right? And however the issuer responds to 3DS 2.0 is only one data point in the acquirer's and the merchant's decision about, you know, the health of that transaction.
So, Erica, looking ahead to the future, do you have a view on fraud trends we're likely to see over the next year or two? And how can merchants proactively prepare?
Yeah. Absolutely. It's never going to end, unfortunately. The fraud trends that we're seeing, you know, and Don just mentioned 3D Secure 2.2, we're seeing the approval rates slightly lower with that solution, right? And that advancement. As a result of some of this, we're seeing that consumers and merchants are expanding more towards digital wallets, crypto, alternative ways of paying. And that is driving different types of fraud trends and behaviors. Additionally, we're seeing a lot more synthetic identity, card testing, automated bots increasing. We've also seen good bots, right, where there's a sneaker release that is going out or a product or inventory that has a high demand in the marketplace and a short, limited set of inventory is driving automated purchasing behaviors. And we're also seeing like a social media individuals that are going out to media trying to increase the number of clicks that they're having because that has financial reward to them that is driving genuine and fraudulent behaviors. You know, there was an individual that posted his credit card on the internet. Social media took on to that, and he's done really well from a media aspect, but that caused over 60,000 transactions in the matter of minutes on our platform because individuals were using that credit card to buy things, right? So that's a continued factor that is fast moving, really unknown to a lot of individuals immediately, that is changing the dynamic, the sophistication and landscape of fraud. But then you have your traditional friendly fraud that continues to occur where consumers, you know, first party fraud, really difficult to detect and prevent those types of fraud behaviors because they're often your long-term, sometimes prior genuine consumers. So really merchants need to continue to have solutions that enable them to be flexible and efficient and adapt quickly and respond to these emerging threats and changing behaviors.
Yeah, that's one of the critical things about identifying fraud patterns is not just identifying actual fraud, but identifying who is testing for fraud, because the crooks are, you know what the general fraud rules are, what merchants are looking for, what's indicative of fraud. But as an example, the rash of enterprise level data breaches that we had back in, I guess it was, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago. As an example, my card, I got a letter from Home Depot that my card was breached, but I've never had any fraudulent activity on it. And a lot of times what happens is that these lists of stolen card numbers get put in an archive to cool off right? And then somebody will buy the list for pennies on a dollar and then go out and try to test these card numbers, right? And the purpose of the testing is to try to, you know, weave in and out of the rules, because again, a lot of the rules are still static, not AI driven, right? Or machine learning driven. So, you know, being able to identify who's testing versus who is just trying to steal one time is a big determinant on how effective your fraud strategy is. And I'm sure you've seen that with your merchants too, as well, Erica.
Absolutely. And we've seen account takeover fraud, right? Where, to your point, you know, you have long-term established accounts that all of a sudden there's a change in behavior, or they're a sleeper account. Somebody creates an account, buys something low value, doesn't get picked up. And then, you know, months later, they're committing fraud in very different ways and trends. So where there's a will, there's a way. And rest assured that the sophisticated fraudsters are phishing strategies, right? They're learning the different types of responses that they would get back from various solutions and understand or reverse engineer the various responses to determine if they've either tripped a fraud strategy rule or a bank decline rule or whatever strategy rule that they may have. So it's to your point on it's about being really intelligent and being fast in the intelligent ways that we apply our fraud practices.
Yeah, I'm sure you've seen that. You've seen the same thing. What came out in our research is that it's not just the merchants that are selling Rolexes on their website. It's the Olive Gardens of the world, right? Because a lot of times the fraudsters will go out and shop in a fast casual or a fast food or, you know, a low dollar, you know, you never suspect fraud here kind of merchant, to test the credentials to see if before they go online and try to get the high dollar stuff. And so it's you know, merchants that think, oh, you know, gosh, I don't need these sophisticated tools because, you know, fraud's never going to come into my corner of the world. That paradigm is changing very quickly. And I'm sure you're seeing that as well with your merchant portfolio.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We see fraud that occurs on the digital channel, to your point exactly. Low friction, low dollar transactions, high volumes. Fraudsters like to go test their identity in that low friction entry point, right? Where they're not asked a lot of data and can do it in speed. Once they know that that identity is valid, or that card is valid, or that payment device is valid, exactly to your point on, they then subsequently go on to the retail sectors, the travel sector, the higher dollar ticket areas. But those areas often do call for more data points for the obvious reasons, right? You're shipping something, or you're going to have to produce identification when you get on a flight. And it's the same thing that has continued to occur too in the different channels. We see fraudsters go on a mobile app, or they go on the website and they can't commit the fraud. Well, they'll then call into the call center, right? So they're not only going across different sectors, they're going across different channels within a merchant to determine if there's different fraud controls or the lack of different fraud controls in those different places. So yes, completely agree. There's where there's a will, there's a way. And the definitely is not specific to just one merchant type or one sector.
Yeah, it really is a double-edged sword. You know, there's never been a better time to be an e-commerce merchant, right? When you look at the sales numbers, but at the same time, you really have to keep your guard up.
Absolutely. And if you have, you know, normal day of sales and trends, and you know you see an abnormal amount of volume increase, question it, right? Sometimes high sales that are atypical might be too good to be true, right? And that's what we sometimes will see as well. High sales don't always mean valid sales, unfortunately.
Sad but true.
Well, Eric and Don, really fascinating conversation regarding the intersection of fraud and merchant preparedness. Thank you so much for your time today and for sharing your expertise.
Thank you very much, Ryan and Don.
Thanks, guys.